What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
If you have any questions about the kids, be they small or teenage, that you would like Mary O'Kane to answer. And normally when I introduce Mary O'Kane, I say Mary O'Kane, author of Perfectly Imperfect Parenting. We get to upgrade her now because she is author, or will be in a couple of weeks, of Anxious Children in an Anxious World.
Yes.
New book.
Oh, Anton, I know, I'm so excited. It's out on 8th of April. Shameless plug. People can pre-order it now on www.buythebook.ie. And I'm just over the moon to have it out and about. And thank you so much for doing the foreword for me. I really appreciate it.
It's very intimidating. No, genuinely very intimidating, because all you get told is write 300 words. And you're like, what? My views on this, the nation, how nice Mary is. So I'm glad you're happy with it. The book is broken down into children's social and emotional development, brains and body, types of anxieties. Why focus on anxiety? Do you see it as a growing problem?
Anton, it's absolutely huge. So when I wrote the first book, I did a chapter on anxiety, and the number of people who came back to me said, this was really helpful, but give me more. I give talks for parents on how to support children struggling with anxiety. And I'm trying to do something in 2 hours. You can't do in 2 hours. So for a while now, I've been thinking, no, I'm just going to put everything down on paper. But funny, it's not only anxiety. Anton, you know, I'm a parent of three. One of mine struggles with anxiety, so I'm kind of living the dream as well. I know what it feels like as a parent. And in a way, part of this was good for me because it helped me really put down everything in that I had in my head on paper. But as a parent of a child who struggles with anxiety, we start to get anxious. You can't help yourself. You adore this child. And as soon as you see them struggling, it just catches you in your heart. And so you start to become a little bit anxious. So part of it, sort of the subtitle is Facing Fears and Finding Brave. And part of that is, it's not only dealing with anxiety. Like you have to explain it to them, make sure they understand it. Even little ones, knowing what's happening in the brain, knowing what's happening in their bodies. Then you sort of help them with self-regulation, but then it's about stepping outside your comfort zone, facing those fears. Every kid who is anxious has bravery within them. We just have to help them find it.
Now, there is. I always wonder, is there a difficult paradox in that? Because one of the things that helps anybody who is anxious is the presence of somebody else who is totally confident, and you get the sense of, as long as they're there, we're all right, somebody's in charge.
Yeah.
If that person then is worried for you or worried about you or interested in your worries, you sort of lose the bedrock sense of somebody's able here.
Anton, that's exactly it. So what we need to be is their port in the storm. But what happens is you're watching your child become anxious. And funny, as I said, I have three. It's not even that you're an anxious parent, because people always say, oh, it has to be an anxious parent as an anxious child. Yeah, thanks for that. I really needed that. That's going to help me. But I look at my own parenting, and what I realized was so my two children who don't struggle with anxiety, I parent them in a different way, and I didn't even realize it. So say they come, and mine are older now, and they're saying, oh, I might want to do this, or I might want to go there. And I'm like, oh, yay, go, wow, that sounds great. The one who struggles a little bit more goes, oh, now, I think I might do that, and I'm a little bit worried. I'm, oh, pet, do you want to lift? Now, could I drop you? Now, would that help? And I start responding this way, and it doesn't help. And we all fall into the same trap. As I'm talking to other parents, they're going, oh my, I do that too. I do that too. So part of it is looking at ourselves.
But even that is very hard to judge. There's the right time for nothing wrong with you. Go on, you'll be fine. And there is the right time for come here till I give you a hug.
Yeah.
But you can't always get them right.
Oh, but Anton, remember the first book? Perfectly Imperfect Parenting. You'll never always get it right. Good enough is good enough. Good enough parenting, that's all we need to do. But it is a very fine line. I know.
Queries coming in. There is an interesting one about a relationship between a four-year-old and a new sibling, which I'll get to in a second, but I quite like this one, so I want your advice on it. My seven-year-old has started to tell lies, not just to get herself out of stuff, although I think that's how it started, but also trying to pin stuff on her little brother. I've told her that I know she's not telling the truth and that telling lies is going to get her into trouble, but she continues to do it. What can I do to get her to stop?
Oh, lying is actually a form of intelligence. It shows that they can understand, they can trick you.
And it's amazing. Imagine being a kid and discovering, if I just make this up and tell her what she wants to hear, the problem evaporates.
That's
what a power.
It is. And you know when they do, they usually start when they've done something wrong. So they break something or they knock over something and you come along and they go, no, Spider-Man, I saw him, Dad. He came in through the window with his spidey senses and then he snuck away and you didn't see him, but I did. And they're doing this to get out of trouble. But then, like this little one at seven, they start to realise she doesn't actually know if I'm lying or not. And you're right, it is absolute power. And it is a way of getting out of things. And, you know, our children don't have an awful lot of autonomy. You realise that you can get one over on your parents. And funny, Anton, there's been research on kids. As they get better at lying, particularly around that age and on up, where they know you don't know, oh, they also get better at putting on this absolute innocent face with the deception.
I think we are unfair to our kids because we don't recognise how unusual the imbalance of power is. If I lived with the Gardaí all the time, I would probably lie a lot more than I do. You know, when a guard pulls you over and goes, do you know what speed you're doing? Not many people will hit them with the actual number straight away because they know where it leads. Oh. It's the same thing for a kid. It's like, I know why you're asking me this and it ain't a positive route that I'm walking down.
No, that's exactly it. And in fact, you know, that's something she can do. Do you know when they start to lie a lot? Sometimes if you respond, you know, you respond quite negatively or you overreact. So they knock over the vase. You come in and you see the vase over and you go, who did that? Who did that? Well, they know. Got a bit of lie here. Okay, do not tell this woman the truth. Lie, get out of this. So if we respond slightly better when something goes wrong, they're less likely to lie about it. But then as well, the other thing, Anton, is we lie. As you say, your friend says, oh my gosh, does my bum look big in this? No, you look great. And your child's looking at you thinking, you're telling me not to lie, but you're actually doing it here. So I suppose talk to them about empathy, kindness.
So what do we do about this 7-year-old then, who has found not only the wonderful world of lying, but also the wonderful world of being able to make her little brother a scapegoat for
stuff? I know. And there's a joy in that too when you're seven.
Like, so how do we get her to stop?
You probably can't, in all honesty. Talk to her about empathy. Talk to her about some white lies are done to save somebody's feelings from being hurt. But honesty is important, because if she starts to lie, how will I know when you're telling me the truth or not? I need to be able to trust you. But I would say to that parent, is it that she sees the little brother getting away with murder? Like, you know the way I always say, the behaviour, you see the tip of the iceberg, you see this thing they do, but what's behind it? So maybe she is seeing, this little fella gets away with murder. Well, you know what? Payback. Or is it maybe that you react quite a lot when she lies? So try and tone it right down and be really calm talking to her about what happened.
The one that I mentioned earlier, my 4-year-old seems to be taking the idea of a new sibling quite well. We talked about how important it is to be a big sister. The baby brought her a present when he arrived and initially she seemed besotted. We are only 10 weeks in and she's definitely starting to withdraw from him. He has been colicky, which I don't think has helped, but now she's started wetting the bed again. It feels like she is regressing. I wondered if she was trying to be more like a baby again to get more attention. Any idea on how to smooth over the cracks?
And that makes sense, being more like a baby again. I love that he brought her a present and she was besotted. Besotted with baby or present. You know? I mean, it works. We always say do it. It absolutely works. But the thing that hit me, the little one wet in the bed again. If they're wet in the bed as you're toilet training them and it's hard to stop, it can be something physical. In a situation like this, we normally say that's not physical. Like there's something here that you kind of think, what's going on? Colic. I don't know if any of yours had colic, Anton. Oh, my eldest and youngest both had colic, and I'll never forget it with the eldest. Colic is exhausting. So think about this little one. She was promised a little brother or a little sister. You're going to love him. We both said it before. Can you imagine if one partner came home and said, oh, your husband, I have a new wife. You're going to, a younger model. Oh, you're going to really like her. No, I'm not. But she was promised something that seemed exciting. She got a dud. She got a broken one. This child cries all the time. She wasn't promised, oh, this baby's going to come. Now he's going to drive you mad crying. So this is completely not the deal she was bargaining for. And colic is really hard.
How long does colic last?
Oh, Anton, there's no set thing. Yeah, no, you're actually sending shivers down my spine.
I was
going to
say, it looks like
I've
PTSD nerve.
Yeah, you actually. You, I'm just so glad it was my eldest was really, really bad. Oh, Anton, it was months. 4 in the afternoon, she would start crying. Maybe 4 in the morning. And the only way to settle her was walk up and down and up and down the stairs. My husband, there were days my husband would come home from work. Oh, Anton, pies like steel. My husband would come home from work some days. I literally remember one day him coming home and literally handing him the baby, me and the baby crying, handing him the baby at the front door. No, you just need to take her away for a while. Exhausting. And in fact, as well, okay, the 4-year-old is struggling. Sorry, what do we do with the 4-year-old? Time. You know, that old love to a child, T-I-M-E. She needs to know she's still important. She's still valued. But you know what? Maybe this parent needs a bit of time as well. Golly, your baby is really hard on the main carer. But for the child, it's time. Sometimes it can help to tell them how much their sibling loves them. Like, oh, I see him smiling when you come in. But with a colicky baby, that's not.
But you've made this point before about the nature of the time. It isn't sufficient, I assume, to spend the time when you are minding the baby and the 4-year-old is there. You need to, as difficult as it is, you need to carve out some time specifically and exclusively for the 4-year-old.
Absolutely. It doesn't have to be a long time. Funny, Anton, there's this lady, Pam Leo, she's just like this American parenting guru. And her thing was always 10 minutes a day, trying to have 10 minutes a day with each of your children. But I would say, whether it's maybe your mom, a friend, somebody, your partner can take that baby, you give her time. Even maybe sometimes putting her to bed or something, make sure you always do it for her, just so she knows you still love her.
Mary, as ever, thank you so much. And thank you very much for coming all the way up to the beautiful County Down. Isn't
no
the weather amazing up here?
Beautiful.
Mary O'Kane, author of Anxious Children in an Anxious World, which will be available on...
on the 8th of April, www.buythebook.ie.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.